up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. There used to be a saying in auto racing, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That can be brought out to all sorts of sports. For example, recruiting in college athletics. Now we can get it in baseball sign stealing. But when is it a problem for fans of that particular team? When do fans of that team say, you've gone too far? Do they ever? Or is it always an us versus them mentality? Which is, I love my team because they're even willing to break the rules to give me what I cherish the most, which is them winning a championship for my own civic pride. Right? When do you see fan bases get very, very angry within the organization? So much so that the demand change. It's a very complicated thing because it depends on, guess, on the level of cheating, right? I guess it depends on the level of embarrassment around the cheating. Look, if you are a fan of a college athletic program, right, and they get caught paying off a recruit for a college basketball team or a college football team, what's the first reaction most people of that fan base have? Well, we got caught. We didn't, we look around. It's going all around. It's going around college football. We just happened to get caught. Somebody spilled the beans on this. Somebody got loose lips. Somebody said something they shouldn't, and the investigation came, and we're getting punished for it. But they're never outraged. They never demand answers. They never say, this is an embarrassment to me as a fan, a guy who buys the season tickets or supports the program through money for as a booster or whatever. They just go, well, we got caught. That angers me that we got caught, but I'm not angered at the crime that was committed, the cheating that was committed. And this sign-stealing example of the situation is exactly that. There isn't any real outrage among the Astro fans, and the outrage is coming from the outer, people on the outside in, but if their team was caught doing it, they'll rally around that team too. Look how quickly Yankee fans will go from changing their tune if an investigation ever went as deep into some of the things people are accusing them of doing. Right? Then it would be, well, it's a big problem across baseball. The Yankees are just being part of the, just doing what everybody else was doing. That's how quickly we can change as fans. But it's still cheating, right? SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, it's O'Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Sign in today for store-wide savings, plus earn double O'Reward Bonus Points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O'Rewards member yet? Sign up today online or in the store. Take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Fast, easy, and free, but hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so I had this analogy about 8 or 9 years ago that I came up with it. I want to see if it's apropos to this day. It was kind of dormant, but I came up with this analogy to determine the NASCAR problem. It's not a problem. I don't want to say it's a problem. It's just an issue, right? There used to be a time where race car drivers had this real, southern image, going back to its roots, right? Guys that would sit down in a garage and, work on a car, and dad probably hauled the moon through the mountains, all that. So they had this image of that, right? And then it got a little bit more corporate. And as it got more corporate, the drivers started to look the same, and it felt like you could relate to them a little bit more. They looked like guys that you would grow up with in your back, that were in your backyard, right? They were kids that they didn't have, the same sort of traditional southern roots that the sport was kind of known for. Whether or not that was true or not, that was just an image that was kind of displayed, right? So I thought about this, and I went back to the 1980s, right? And you go back to the 80s, and you listen to rock, right? The heavy metal bands. I think you and I did this once during a Throwback Thursday, where you had all these hair bands. White Lion, Poison, you had all of them, right? All of them that had the Motley Crue. One thing that was about those bands when they had the crazy hair and the power ballad and all that stuff was that they were rock stars, right? Like, you couldn't relate to them because you didn't live like them. You didn't live like a rock star. You were like, they partied all night and they had all these women and they had drugs and, you know, like they were just, they were totally different from the way you lived your life.
No, they were gods.
For young men,
they're gods.
You couldn't relate to them, right? You didn't live their lifestyle and you didn't know how you could live their lifestyle except be a rock god, right? You were like, they must have been blessed by some, like, to be rock and roll, level of rock and roll greatness, right?
Yeah, they were like down separate. And bestowed lightning bolts into their eyes.
So think about that in context to, like, NASCAR in, like, the 70s and 80s, where that seemed to be the image, right?
But down in the South,
right? These were the guys that grew up around cars, they grew up around racing, they grew up around the roots of the sport, right? Where, again, you could follow the lineage back to driving cars through the mountains to haul moonshine and all of that. So there was no relatability from the fans to the drivers except just admiration, right? Now think about what happened to those hair bands in the 80s. They died out, and what replaced them? Grunge. What replaced them? Nirvana, Soundgarden, right? Pearl Jam. What did they look like? They looked like guys that were in your high school. They dressed that way.
They looked
that way.
Changed it a little bit, though. They looked like the slackers in your high school.
Right, exactly. But they looked like people you would know, right? They looked like people you might even have hung out with. They looked like people you would have related to in an everyday life. They weren't projecting an image. They were just good at music, right? They didn't have to be something on top of playing music. They just played music. And I'm sure all of the vices and the trappings were given to them as well, but they didn't look like they were separate from the way you were living. That's the way I see NASCAR drivers today, right? Whether it's Keselowski, Logano, Kenseth, Johnson, you know, William Byron, Alex Bowman, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I mean, the list goes on and on. They look like your average neighborhood kid that was just happened to be good at racing. And now they're big NASCAR stars. There seems to be an identity that is lost in these drivers, just like the hairband image was lost in the 80s to guys that look like your buddies. The guys that look like people, again, you would associate with at school. Whereas you could never imagine Axl Rose going to your school or living in your neighborhood. You could see Kurt Cobain in your school, right? You could see Eddie Vedder in your school. But you couldn't see Bret Michaels from Poison ever attending your high school. Is that crazy? No, Bret Michaels, when he was 12, was probably drinking Jack Daniels, while on the street corner playing his guitar.
And smashing the bottle against the
right.
wall.
Right. There was just this over-the-top mythos that went with the hairband rock stars of the 1980s that was way beyond anything you could relate to. Same with NASCAR drivers, right? That was like, wow, they lived a little differently. They lived a little bit more on the edge. Their family was a lot different than my family. Wow, that's no wonder they became race car drivers. Are you kidding? But then when Nirvana came out, you knew the music was good, but you're like, well, gee, it looks like anybody could do this if they were really good at music.
Well, that, but it was also an easy image to style.
That's
for
right.
yourself. I mean,
exactly.
Just wear your hair a little bit longer and throw on some flannel. You're good to go.
And now Jeff Gordon looks like a kid that you could have grown up with and played Little League with.
Yep.
And next thing you know, and I saw this.
Well, it was always Jeff Foxworthy's joke. He's like, you know, the reason why people don't like Jeff Gordon is because he can talk. And, you know, he enunciates words.
Right. Right. I mean.
And there's some truth to that, I think. I mean, I think that's why a lot of people didn't like Jeff Gordon was because he's like, he didn't sound like anybody who should be running NASCAR.
And he was winning everything
yes.
in sight. I mean,
good.
That's the other thing. He was really good, and he won everything in sight. I have in my office, I have a poster that was given to me before the first ever Brickyard 400, when they raced at Indy for the first time in 1994. I got this promotional poster from Chevrolet, and the reason I like it, and I framed it, even though it was just a promotional poster, because Jeff Gordon is the feature driver on it, before he won the inaugural race. So before he won the first Brickyard 400, the poster that I got, he's on it. He's the big Dale Jarrett's on it. I'm looking at it right now. Dale Jarrett, Daryl Waltrip, Dale Earnhardt, but Sterling Marlin, Kenny Schrader. But Jeff Gordon is the predominant driver, and this was given to me before that race actually occurred. He was that big before some of his bigger races that he won. So, I don't know. It's kind of an analogy I thought about and I still use, because there seems to be like this very homogenous looking group of drivers that there is no relation to. Listen, I saw this in Vegas. I'll tell you, the Busch brothers, Kyle was in high school when I was living in Vegas. Kyle was in high school and Kurt had graduated, but he was kind of getting into the sport. He was starting to get noticed on bigger local circuits and then national circuits. And I remember thinking, these two kids are really good on these Saturday night races. Like, the locals would get together with their cars and the Busch brothers would win. And their dad was excellent at marketing them. He had t-shirts, and then you could buy a t-shirt at their little pit area. And we would interview them, and they would come on my radio shows and they would come on my TV shows. And, you know, we became very good, very close with them. But in fact, Kurt Busch gave my wife an Exide battery because her car had needed a new battery, and he was sponsored by Exide. So he's like, "No, come to my thing. I got a battery for you." And I always thought that was kind of neat. But he was, but I never
that's
thought
probably,
that they
just real quick. That's probably the only time you didn't feel as inferior as a man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, right. You know, you look at your wife and like, honey, I could take care of it, but I'm just going to get Kurt Busch to do it.
Kurt Busch is going to give you a driver. Yeah. Now, again, he's just a local kid that's got a kind of a neat deal with Exide batteries. He's not Kurt Busch yet.
Yeah.
Right.
But so he already like, knows
Kurt,
more about cars
it.
Than you do.
Right. All right. Exactly.
And he's 12.
But I remember thinking, like, these guys want to make it to NASCAR. Like, they want to make it to the Winston Cup / now it's what, you know, Monster Energy Series. But I said, you know, I don't know if they'll make it. I don't know how hard it is. And both of them became megastars, like champions and super. Kyle Busch is probably the biggest star they have right now. He's the champion. He wins a lot of races. But it was, you know, I would never have pegged. I didn't see that in their background that they could become dominant race car drivers at a young age. But you could probably go in the South in the 70s, late 70s, and really find out that guy's going to make it. That kid will probably make it. That kid will probably make it. Just based on their background and who was around them and what they were doing on Saturday nights throughout their life. I don't know. It's just an interesting analogy as we get ready for the Daytona 500. So I thought I'd throw that out there. Plus, anytime I could talk about hair bands from the 80s, I'm going to do it.
It's a good day. Hair band and NASCAR.
Hair bands and NASCAR. I don't know how those two worlds come together, but I tried to find a way to make it work.
They do all the time. Well, actually, they don't. Maybe it'd probably be more Southern Rock and NASCAR.
That's very true. Bob Pockrass is going to join us from Fox Sports to talk about the Great American Race. That's coming up next as we continue along on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Daytona 500 coming up on Sunday. They ran the dual 150 races yesterday. They've got the order all set. Bob Pockrass joins us from Fox Sports to talk about the 500. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. The 2020 storylines for this NASCAR season obviously begins with its big Super Bowl event. But what are the things, any changes in 2020 for the sport that we need to look at?
The big changes are top the pit box, where some of the biggest names have new crew chiefs. Martin Truex Jr., who won the championship 2 years ago, his crew chief, Cole Pearn, decided he's done. He's burnt out. He moved back home to Canada. He's running a ski resort, nothing to do with the sport. Martin, his engineer, James Small, is now running Martin Truex Jr. And then over at Penske Racing, Brad Keselowski, former champion, Joey Logano, former champion, they rotated all the crew chiefs among their three drivers, which also includes Ryan Blaney. So all of them have new crew chiefs this year. And then it's not a change, but it will be a change in 2021. Jimmie Johnson, seven-time champion, this is his last full-time season.
I wanted to get to that in terms of the we talk about this in other sports where there is sort of these retirement tours that you can have if you're in baseball or basketball, not so much the NFL. Is that something that occurs in NASCAR? Does he get any special treatment around tracks? How does NASCAR deal with the impending retirement of its stars?
Well, every track wants to do something special for him. So,
yeah, sure.
There'll be about 22 or 23 times this year where he'll go to a driver's meeting and he'll probably be presented something, and he'll probably need to build another house for all the gifts that he gets. Not that he doesn't need, he already has one for all his trophies and everything, but he'll be lauded each week, or at least, at the final race at each of these tracks. And I'm sure at Homestead this year, there will be a lot of interest in him. And, if he can somehow rebound from the last couple of years and make it to the Championship Four, it'll be crazy.
In terms of the Daytona 500, for those who are kind of new to the sport, in terms of the, we know that there are cars with lots of money and good backing and good drivers, and then there's some smaller teams. Is because of restrictor plates, because of drafting, because of crashes that could take people out, is this a tougher race to handicap the haves and the have-nots, given that, we've seen like Trevor Bayne win this, but then of course we've seen the superstars win this?
Absolutely. I was going to mention Trevor Bayne to you. Yeah, this is, super speedway racing, where they race in packs, and you don't need the best car. You just need a car that can stick with the pack. And if you get the right push at the right time, you have a shot. The other thing is that right now, the packs, they run in like usually two or three lines, and they get really good runs. And what happens is the leader tries to block the other line, and it's been causing a lot of wrecks lately. So I don't think many people expect more than maybe 12 to 15 cars running at the finish. And if you have a chance to be running at the finish, you've got a shot to win.
So in terms of is there anybody that has moved up in terms of teams that we need to watch out for? Are there any names that are not among the usual suspects, but because of where they're landed, that we might be paying attention to more this upcoming season?
Well, you might be paying attention a little bit more to Matt Benedetto. He was running for a single-car Toyota team of Vaughn Family Racing last year. Kind of got pushed out for an up-and-coming driver. But he led, he led the most laps of the Daytona 500 last year. He finished second at Bristol. He looked really good last night in the duels in his new role. He's driving for Wood Brothers Racing, which is an affiliate of Team Penske. So he has some of the best equipment out there, and he's a really strong super speedway racer.
In terms of the sport in of itself, this is their big event. It's sold out. This is again like the Super Bowl of auto racing for their sport. How is the sport doing throughout the season? How is it around the country when it goes to other tracks and other places?
It's doing okay. emissions were a little bit down last year, but not as much as they had been in the past. Ratings were a tick up, I want to say. So the kind of the slide has at least flattened a little bit.
Yeah.
And the ratings for the Clash last week were up 7%. And so that was a good sign. The race is sold out for Sunday. I think tracks are doing a lot of things. They're trying to, many tracks are putting in new areas where fans can actually, get to see the cars as they're being worked on and doing some other things in hopes of, keeping the fans who come there once to keep them coming back. So, I would say it's still a challenge. The auto industry has a lot of challenges, so you would think the racing industry would have them as well.
In terms of the way this sport has changed over the last couple of years in its postseason, we've been spending this week talking about Major League Baseball and the proposition of adding another playoff level and a reality level just to sort of gain interest into a postseason to add new fans. This is something NASCAR dealt with when they went into this chase format a number of years ago. Obviously, you talked about the ratings as an uptake. Overall, has this been a huge success, a mild success, or something that still needs tweaking?
I think it's been a mild success on the NASCAR side, especially since they went to this four drivers all kind of even at going into the final race at Homestead. Because when you play basketball, you never have to worry about the basketball just kind of losing air when you put up a shot. And in racing, your engine can blow, a park can, and so you could be great all year and still not win the title. But it does add It adds a lot of pressure. It adds a lot of excitement. It creates more moments during the season. And so, you know, look, if you're a traditionalist, it grinds on you. If you've been watching the sport for 30 years, you're probably looking at the champion a little bit differently now than you did back when you started. But it certainly increases the drama. It increases the intensity a lot of times. You know, NASCAR has this deal where they eliminate four drivers after every three races in their playoffs, and it certainly creates urgency, you know, for those drivers. And if you're a fan of those drivers, you're gonna watch. So I would say it's been mildly successful. It's just still a little bit hard for some people to stomach.
Look, I've noticed that the expansion of this sport has gone to places like Vegas over 20 years, and Chicago now, and other different parts of the country. Do the traditionalists, are they still a little angry that places like North Wilkesboro and Rockingham, places where it's not just the location, it was the track and the style of racing, have been have disappeared from the sport?
A little bit. I think people would like to see more short tracks and everything, and NASCAR's looking, you know, they're expecting a potential adjustment to its schedule in 2021, potentially new tracks. They believe that there's a good chance they will. And I think if they go to new tracks, they're going to go to some short tracks. You know, they've thrown around ideas about a street course or something. I don't know whether that's doable for 2021. But, yeah, they certainly want to go to places where fans believe that the drivers make a big difference. And sometimes on the bigger tracks, it appears to be a little bit more of an engineering exercise.
In terms of cost, I know it's expensive to run. Are they doing anything to sort of help other teams with those costs, or help other teams, you know, help the sport to get a competitive balance in how much money that it costs to run these races?
Well, next year, NASCAR is going to a car that they're calling their next-gen car, for their next-generation car. And instead of the teams really building the cars from the ground up, they're going to be buying, it's almost going to be like kits. You know, they're going to get a supplier's going to supply the chassis, another supplier's going to supply the bodies, and so what this will do is it'll control costs as far as the cost to build the car, because it's going to be the same for all teams. Now, certainly that's going to mean layoffs, you know, because you're not going to need as many fabricators or chassis builders and that kind of thing, and so it will. There'll be an adjustment. There will be an initial outlay for teams that might be bigger than what they would spend in the off season. But the hope is that they'll know their costs a little bit better, and that they will be less year to year.
Bob, do you think, is there a image issue with NASCAR amongst its drivers in terms of the identification of some of these guys to an average person that kind of wants to follows it a little on the periphery, but can't tell Christopher Bell from Eric Jones, from Ryan Blaney to Clint Bowyer?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, especially when you look at the drivers who've retired over the last 4 or 5 years, you know, Dale Jr., Tony Stewart, Carl Edwards, Matt Kenseth, you know, all those drivers are no longer running in NASCAR. So, you know, yeah, I think they kind of overshadowed a lot of the young drivers. And so certainly, you know, I think that there was a little bit of connection loss. NASCAR, the way people get into NASCAR, they don't run at their local track for 4 or 5 years and build a fan base like they did 15 or 20 years ago.
Right.
So it's a bigger challenge, you know, for NASCAR to create that kind of that passion, create that emotional connectivity to the fans. And, you know, I think they're looking at, you know, they're trying to market them the best they can. But I think it's going to take time for people to know who these people are.
Bob Parkrest joins us. The great stuff. I really appreciate it. Not only helping us with the 500, but the season and the expectations of 2020 as well. Great stuff. Thank you a lot.
Hey, thanks.
You got a Bob Parkrest, Fox Sports on NASCAR, the Daytona 500 coming up this week. We'll dive into little motorsports again coming into this weekend with the NBA All-Star Game. You got spring training, players reporting in. But you've also got one of the great American auto races in its culture, in the Daytona 500. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM.
on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Yes, it's Valentine's Day. Don't be late with your presents. Go out and get them today. Tomorrow's too late.
Yeah, because tomorrow an asteroid's hitting us.
That's right. Tomorrow's asteroid is going to be
within... When I first read that story, you know what the first thing that popped in my mind was?
Okay, go ahead.
Ghostbusters 2, when Bill Murray's interviewed
that girl
goes, Valentine's Day. Bummer.
So true. By the way, guys, manscaping accidents are a thing of the past now that Manscaped has redesigned its electric trimmer. The engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever and releasing the new Lawnmower 3.0. It's a third generation trimmer, a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. They're now finally a thing of the past. This is premium. The battery lasts up to 90 minutes. You can take a longer shave. And the coolest feature is the LED light that illuminates the grooming area for closer, more precise trimming. They've also upgraded it to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And don't forget the charging stand. It's powered by USB, and you can show it off loud and proud. And if you're listening right now, get a great deal for you at manscaped.com. Use the promo code SB Nation. Get 20% off plus free shipping. That's 20% off plus free shipping when you use the promo code SB Nation at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. All right. So, again, this weekend, you got the NBA All-Star Game, you got Daytona 500, and you've got a few positional teams will have positional players checking in either this weekend or Monday on President's Day. So there's still some things going on, and college basketball is heating up. So all is not lost that we head into another weekend of no football, Mr. Culver. There's still some stuff out there. You know, I mean, we're getting closer and closer to March. So there's some good college hoops going on. A friend of mine asked me yesterday, he said, give me some advice on these top 25 games on Thursday. And I said, well, Oregon against Colorado and Iowa at Indiana. I said, take Colorado and Iowa. Both teams lost.
You just throwing names out there.
I know. I feel bad because I think he gambles with the information I give him.
Well, it's not only that, but top 25 in basketball is not top 25 in football.
No, it's not the same.
Because the top 25 in basketball, it could be anybody any given week.
Sure,
it changes
that's right.
So quickly.
I know.
Even
I
was if like, you Ooh. Win, you drop points.
I cost this guy money, probably.
Probably do. Unless probably owe like, money.
I'm hoping that I'm one of just many things he's what? Using to make a selection.
Why don't you do this? Why don't you start giving him XFL odds?
Well, that's the other thing. I should ask him if he's interested in my XFL information that I have.
Yeah.
Like, look, PJ Walker is an outstanding quarterback for the Houston Roughnecks. I think they will beat the St. Louis Battlehawks this weekend.
And just know... L.A. Wildcats losing everything until they change their name.
That's right. They got to be something else. And Seattle is going to win at home against Tampa Bay.
And you can give him information he probably doesn't know because, it was released to the public. It's common knowledge if you're following XFL. But, hey, L.A. Wildcat has a new defensive coordinator.
That's right. They fired the guy after 1 week because the XFL don't mess around.
Yeah. They have no time for...
Who was their defensive coordinator? Was it
Julius Pepper?
It was Pepper Johnson.
Was it? No, I thought it was Julius Pepper.
No, it was Pepper Johnson.
Was it Pepper Johnson?
Yeah.
The other Pepper?
The other Pepper. Be a Pepper, you're a Pepper, I'm a Pepper. But he's no longer the defensive coordinator, Pepper Johnson. So, yeah, they fired him after 1 week. Like, you don't even get to get your feet wet in this league. Like, you can't even figure it out as you go. They just went, no, done, we're out. Yeah, I don't know what went on, but goodness gracious, that's great for that league.
Did they even hire anybody?
I don't know. That's another good question.
I'm seeing fire Pepper Johnson, but I don't see hired anyone.
The XFL needs its own rumors. They need their own Adam Schefter, right? They need their own guy that's like on the scene.
We should do that.
I've got some information, inside information that
should
the St. Louis Battlehawks
will reach out to us.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on Twitter, like breaking down the fact that the LA Wildcats are changing their name. Like, well, we tried it; it didn't really work out. It didn't quite catch on, given that there's 500 local high schools with the same name.
Yeah, they need it. They need to change their name.
It's ridiculous, Wildcats. That sounds like a name the team contest, and they gave it to some kid some kid won it, and he got like season tickets. Like, we may not like it, but this is the third grader won. We picked it out of a hat, and he won.
So terrible.
I think it should be Wildcats. Pick something else. No, Wildcats. Oh shoot, I guess we'll go with Wildcats. The Vipers is cool.
Maybe
Roughnecks
they already
is cool.
Had, yeah, maybe they already had T-shirts.
Yeah,
from some other time before. And they're just like, well, we got these T-shirts.
That's right.
you know, third world country keeps sending them back to us. So I don't know what to do with these.
Yeah, that's right. We got. I don't know what we're going to do.
They didn't want them.
Well, they didn't want them. We'll just take them. DC's taking on the New York Guardians.
You know what? I'm not really a big fan of Guardians either.
Well, we talked about it in our breakdown of the logos. It's like from the Gothic buildings, but it's still not that awesome. Like, it takes a little too much. All right, it's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Thanks for joining us.